So John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and tonight our title is Four Levels of Fruit Bearing. We'll be looking at four levels of fruit bearing. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The other night, as we talk about the four levels of bearing fruit, you know, I want to just start out talking about gardening. You know, I know a lot of you enjoy gardening and realize that there's a science and art to gardening. It involves a lot of hard work. You've got to prepare the soil, plant the seed, cultivate, nurture the crop. There's watering, there's weeding, there's pruning, there's spraying. I mean, the work just seems to never end. And even after doing that, there's no guarantee that there's going to be a harvest. You know, there's so many variables that can determine whether you have a good harvest. You know, the plants, they can develop a fungus if there's too much moisture. You can have slugs that eat away at your plant. Hail can destroy your crop. Birds can eat your fruit. And so there's no guarantee that you're going to get fruit, even though you invest a lot of time and work into your garden. You know, when we lived in Ghana, we experimented with gardening in tropical climate, and we enjoyed it because over there, it just seemed like you could grow anything. I mean, my wife, she would see a tropical plant that she liked, or a tropical vine or something like that, and we would just cut off a piece of it and just stick it in the ground, and it would grow. I mean, that easy. I mean, there's so much moisture and sun that it just would grow. We were pretty successful with banana trees. We started out, I don't know how many trees, with three trees, and then I think when we left, 27 banana trees would just multiply. We had bananas running out our ears. And also coconut trees, we planted some of those when we first moved into this place, and last few years in Ghana was able to enjoy our own fresh coconuts, and so that was such a blessing. And another thing that was interesting was pineapples. We could take a pineapple, and you know the head, you cut that off. You go down into the fruit a little bit, just cut it off, and you plant that, and it grows. It produces another plant, and you'll have a pineapple. And it takes some time, but I mean, tropical fruit was so easy, but when we brought seeds from the States over there, it was a little bit more challenging to have a harvest. The climate was different, but we were able to grow some varieties of squash and peppers, but we were not always successful. It seemed like the first time we did it, we had a good crop. But the next time we did it, for some reason I never figured out, we had no squash, zero squash. It seemed like everything just molded and rotted. before it would produce, and the peppers didn't turn out too good. They wasn't very hot. I don't know what was wrong. But you can work hard at it and not get a crop. And let me ask you, do you ever feel that way in your Christian life? Sometimes you try to be a godly spouse, but maybe your marriage just seems mediocre. Maybe it's not what you want it to be. Maybe you've tried to raise godly children, and your children seem to be lukewarm, even rebellious against the Lord. Maybe you try to work hard at your ministry. God's given you a ministry here at Bible Baptist Church. You've worked hard at that ministry, and it just seems like you can never get enough volunteers to help, and it seems like there's just not that much fruit. You know, these kind of scenarios can make us very discouraged. We can get real discouraged. But I want to look tonight at this passage because it's important that we understand there's a difference between work and fruit. There's a huge difference between work and fruit. You know, it's very possible for us to perform a lot of work for Christ that isn't necessarily fruitful. You know, you can be in the ministry, you can be a pastor, you can be a Sunday school teacher, you can be a deacon, you can be a Christian who serves and does a lot of work for Christ, and yet not be very fruitful. You know, we can even do a lot of work in the name of Christian service without Christ. You know, it's sad. But I want to say this tonight. Anything of lasting value can only be done through Christ. It's through Christ, by abiding in Him. You know, in this passage, Jesus does not teach us that we have to produce fruit. He says we bear fruit. And there is a difference. And something we're going to learn tonight is that our Father, He is the, it says, husbandman. This is a vine dresser. He's the one that cares for the vine, for the vineyard. Boy, that's an amazing thought to think about. We're just the branch, or the branches. That's all we are. We're not the one in charge of the vineyard. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. But the Father, He's the vine dresser. He's the one that cares for the vine. He's the one that cultivates. He's the one that prunes and purges the vine and all those things. He's the one that works the vineyard. You know, bearing fruit is a natural outcome of us as Christians just abiding in Jesus. And next week I'm going to talk more about what it means to abide in Jesus, but it's just, it's really not that hard. I mean, really, you stop and think about it. I mean, we just need to get real close to Jesus, you know, and when you have a real close connection with someone, you know, that person has an impact on your life. But this is even greater because Jesus, He is in us and we are in Him, and He is divine. And, you know, He gives His power and strength to produce spiritual fruit. And so our job is simple. Just to abide in Him and let His words abide in us. Be obedient to His word. And we'll look at some of those things next week. But that's all it is. You know, last week, in our first lesson, we looked at how God has great expectations. And we looked at how even in the Old Testament and Isaiah Chapter 5, Israel is called the vineyard of the Lord. They were God's vine. God planted that nation in a very fruitful hill. He built a hedge around them. He had a tower in the midst. And He did everything that was possible for them to bear fruit. But you know, when God came to Israel seeking the fruit of righteousness and seeking the fruit of mercy and some of those things, you know what? All He found was This right here. Nothing. No fruit. Or he said they grew sour grapes. They didn't have fruit. And, you know, we come to the New Testament in John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You know, in the Old Testament, the vineyard or the vine was Israel. But now we come to the New Testament and Jesus, he says, I am the true vine. I'm the real thing. You know, all those things in the Old Testament were just a shadow of things to come. But Jesus is the real thing. He said, I am the true vine. And we talked about last week that it's so, so important that we are connected to the true vine. If you're not connected to him, you have no life. There is no fruit without Jesus. But here in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, something I want you to notice beginning in verse number 2 is the progression here as he talks about fruit. In verse 2, he says, every branch of me that beareth not fruit. So he talks about the first level that we're going to talk about tonight. And this basket right here represents the first level, no fruit. No fruit. And so that's the first one he talks about. And then he says, what does he say after that? He said, in every branch that beareth fruit. So he just talks about the branch that bears fruit. The second one here, we're going to call this meager fruit. I mean, there's not a lot in there. There's fruit. But it's very meager. You know, every Christian is going to bear fruit. I'm talking about every true born-again Christian is going to produce fruit. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I mean, you know them by their fruits. We talked about that last week. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. And then you'll notice in verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So now we come to much fruit. And so that's this third basket here. So we go from meager fruit to much fruit. I mean, here's, you can see this, there's more here. There's much fruit. And so there's condition. Talk about abiding in him and his word abiding in us. We'll talk more about that later. But now as we continue on and we look down in verse number 8, we can see here in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You know, I messed this up because verse 2 is talking about more fruit. So you got fruit, you got no fruit, you have fruit, you have more fruit, and then you have much fruit. So I messed that one up. But this last one, this is much fruit. So we see here in these four baskets, we have no fruit, we have fruit, and then we have more fruit, and then we have much fruit. So these are the four levels of fruitfulness we're going to look at tonight. And, you know, the takeaway tonight is this. Let me see if I can pull it up on the board. Maybe you can read it. It's a little bit small writing. But this is the takeaway tonight from this whole message, is that God is the vine dresser and he loves us so much and is so committed to displaying his glory that he actively cultivates our lives so that we will move from no fruit to meager fruit to more fruit to much fruit. You know, this is the key right here. I mean, this, if you don't get nothing else, get this. God is the vine dresser. He's the one that's committed. He's committed to his vineyard. He's committed to displaying his glory. And how do we how does His glory displayed? Well, verse 8, He's glorified when we bear much fruit. He's committed to that. And so He's actively working in every Christian's life to cultivate so that we will move from meager fruit to more fruit to much fruit. Let me ask you tonight, which basket that we have up here represents your life? Which basket? You know, if the Lord is coming back tonight, which one of these baskets would represent your life? Would it be the first basket, no fruit? Would it be the second basket, fruit? Or would it be the third basket, more fruit? Or the last basket, much fruit? Now, I want to tell you, the greatest way we can glorify God is to bear much fruit. This is what we should have as our goal and desire, is much fruit. Because, you know, in verse 8, He tells us that He is glorified that we bear much fruit. That's how we display that we are His disciples. Now, the good news, here's the good news. No matter where you are right now, the good news is more is possible. More is possible because you and I were saved for that very purpose. Isn't that good? I mean, there's more possible. I mean, whatever you have in your life right now, there's more possible. Remember in the parable Jesus told about sowing the seed, and He talked about the seed that fell on good ground. Some brought forth 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I mean, that pretty much represents those last three baskets there. Here we see 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You know, think about it. I'm sure God would rather us be at 100-fold or not. You know, as we look at this first basket tonight of no fruit. This first basket of no fruit. Here in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. You know, this is a verse that has troubled a lot of people, a lot of confusion over this verse. Because on the surface, they would seem to teach that a Christian can lose his salvation. In fact, there's people that would use this verse that believe Christians can lose their salvation. They will use this verse. But I want to remind you tonight that you cannot build a doctrine off of one verse of Scripture. If you do, you're going to have problems because there's a lot of Scriptures that teach the eternal security of a believer. I mean, there's a lot of them. I mean, I think of John 10, 28, 29, you know, we're in His hand, you know. And no man can pluck us out. I think of Romans chapter 8. I mean, the whole chapter. I mean, if we had time, we could read it. But, you know, you read Romans 8, it's so crystal clear that nothing can separate us from the love of God. I mean, He's justified us, and, I mean, we're going to be glorified. I mean, it's a fact. I mean, we can't lose salvation because eternal life is eternal. It's eternal. It's not temporary. It's not probationary life. It's eternal life. So what does this verse mean? Well, really, the simple explanation is found in the context. It's found in the context because when you look at the context just hours before this, what we read here, just hours before it, go back to chapter 13. Because, you know, chapter 13, 14, and 15, and 16, they all go together. And that night that Jesus went into the garden against him, well, the Last Supper, started with the Last Supper, and then going out into the garden against Gethsemane and praying, and then leading up to the cross. And so We're talking about this is all taking place in the same night. And so here in chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus said to him, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean," but notice what he said, "but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you're not all clean." You know, here Jesus was announcing that there was a traitor. A traitor among the 12. Jesus told 12, "You're all clean," but he said, "You're clean, but not all of you." You know, there's one that was a traitor among them. You know, and right after this, you go to chapter 17, verse 12, and Jesus said, "While I was with them in the world," as he prayed to the Father, "I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." The son of perdition. This is talking about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was never a saved, born-again Christian. He was a son of perdition, a son of the devil. He was lost. I mean, he associated with the Jesus, but he was not a true born-again believer. He had no fruit because he had no saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His real God, we learned, was greed, was it not? It was money. He was covetous. He had the bag. He wanted the money. He was a thief, the Bible says. You know, as a result, he was cut off, cast in the fire. It's a very sad thing, but it's the truth. You know, John the Baptist, he preached in Matthew 3:10, "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." You know, the scripture teaches that, you know, the unfruitful tree will be cut down. The unfruitful tree will be cut down. And so what we need to, coming back to John 15:2, where he says, "Every branch in me," that phrase "in me," you need to understand it doesn't mean the same thing as what Paul says in Christ. Those are not synonymous terms. When he says "every branch in me," he's not talking about people that are in Christ. It doesn't say that. But this is not an allegory, but this is a metaphor. We're talking about a metaphor here. Jesus is the vine, you are the branches. But this is speaking of those who are professing follower of Christ. A professing Christian. You know, every person that professes to be his disciple and does not bear fruit, he's not a true follower. He's not a true follower of Christ. You know, remember we saw Matthew 7:20 last week, that "you shall know them by their fruits." You know, he talks about, you know, fruit bearing is a sign of spiritual life. It's a sign of spiritual life. And by the way, we'll talk more about what kinds of fruit we're talking about, you know, in a later message. But a branch that bears no fruit is obviously dead. Because let me just share this with you. You know, if a branch is connected to the vine, that life in that vine is going to flow through that branch, and they're going to bear fruit. That's just how it is. But if there's not that vital connection with the vine, then there's no fruit. You know, every year in Palestine, their gardeners would prune their vines in the spring and the fall. They cut off all the dead wood that has no life. I mean, that was essential to the vineyard. I mean, they had to cut all the dead wood off. And not only that, but they would trim the living branches so that they could yield more fruit. And that's what he's talking about in this verse 2. Those two concepts, cutting off the dead wood and then pruning the living branches so that they can bear more fruit. You know, in verse 6, it says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered. Men gather them, cast them in the fire, they are burned. Here's an example of the person without fruit. That's what's going to happen. A person that has no fruit, they have no life. They're not in Jesus in the sense that He's in them. They don't have eternal life in them. They're going to be one day gathered and cast into hellfire. I mean, that's what He teaches in this verse. You know, the application is that you can be a baptized church member. Every branch in me, you can be identified with Jesus Christ. You can be a baptized church member and not be saved. You can look and rest in your baptism. You can rest in your church membership. But if you don't have a real faith in Jesus Christ, you're not saved. You don't have any spiritual fruit in your life. If you're like this one right here, this basket, if you don't have any spiritual fruit, listen, you need to get born again. You need to get saved. I've told this testimony before, but you know, Brother Dale Bigham that came and preached while I was in Ghana, he told a story one time when we were in a preacher's meeting. He was preaching and he told us his testimony. And I don't know if you ever heard his testimony, but he grew up in a preacher's home and he was a rebellious son. I mean, many times he ran off and he would come back. But the last time he came back, he rededicated himself, so to speak, and he went to Bible college, graduated Bible college, went into the ministry, and he went to Amarillo to pastor what was then Grace Baptist Church. Well, he said one day he was preaching Sunday morning. He was preaching a salvation message and God just convicted his heart. And he went home that afternoon and he realized that he was not even saved. He said, you know, I was, and these are some of his words. I remember him sharing this. He said, you know, he said, I was looking at my life and I had no fruit. He said, I tried and tried and tried to be good and do these things. And, you know, he said, but I had no fruit. It was always a struggle. I just didn't have any fruit flowing out of my life. And so he got saved that afternoon. See, you can be a pastor and be lost. You can be a Sunday school teacher and be lost. You know, do you have any fruit? You know, that's a good indication whether you know the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Now, how do we get, let's look at the second one, meager fruit. This is, how do we get here? If you're in Christ and you know the Lord is your Savior, you're absolutely certain you have eternal life in you and the Lord's changed your life. How do you get from this one right here, this meager fruit, to more fruit? And how do you get from more fruit to this one right here, much fruit? How do you do that? You know, that's a very, very important question for us to ask tonight. How do we do that? How do we get to the having, going from meager to more to much? How do we do that? Good question. Well, look, there's two ways. I believe in this passage, two ways to grow more fruit according to Jesus. And we're only going to get to one of them tonight. And I'm going to have to make it quick. I tell you, it's going to be hard. But two ways. The first one, purging from the Father. There's got to be some purging taking place in our life. But the second one is abiding in Jesus, which we'll have to save for another message. But this purging, I want to just share a few things, because here in verse 2, he says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He purgeth it, he says, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, who is this that purges it? It's our Father. It's our Father that does that. He's the vine dresser. He's the one that purges. And this word purgeth, it comes from the word, it's the same root word as the word clean in verse 3. It has the ideal here of our Father taking his pruning shears. He's taking those pruning shears and he's cutting away those things that are hindering our growth and fruitfulness. You know, it's important to recognize that, you know, you go and study vineyards and you learn that there's a spring pruning and a fall pruning. There are different types. Spring pruning was for cleaning purposes. The fall pruning was for cutting off dead branches. But, you know, as you look at this pruning, you know, it's cleansing. It has a cleansing effect on the branch because, you know, the branch will develop diseases. There'll be parasites. There'll be insects. And so they would have to cut away some of these branches that were affected with these things. And part of the job of this pruning involved lifting up the branches. You know, the branches, if they're left alone, they're just going to grow along the ground. And on the ground, they're going to be down there where insects are going to get into them. They're going to be down there where the dust and dirt's going to get on the leaves. They're not going to get as much sun. There's going to be mold that's going to develop on them. And so if you ever look at these vineyards, you'll find that they had what they call a trellis. Well, let's see. I got the wrong button here. You see that they're up off the ground. This trellis is to, they put the vines and branches up on this trellis, and so it's up off the ground. And so, you know, I even read that sometimes it involves them going along, if there's dust that collects on the leaves, that even clean the leaves off just so that they can get the full sun. And so there's a lot involved in keeping a vine. Danger of insects, diseases, mold, and trying to get the maximum sunlight as possible. But there's another form of pruning that takes place. And I've got this picture here. If you look at the bottom, those suckers, they're called sucker shoots. And what those sucker shoots do, they produce leaves, but no fruit. But what they do is they take all the sap and strength away from the fruitful branches, and so they're less fruitful. So what they have to go and do, the vine dresser has to go along with his pruning shears. He has to cut all these sucker shoots away. And if he doesn't, then what's going to happen is he's going to have a vineyard with lots of leaves and very little fruit. You know, I read this story about this one man. They moved to this place next to this vineyard, and he saw a man out there one day just cutting away, hacking away at all these branches. And he said, "Hey, you must like, you know, cutting leaves away." And I mean, he was really cutting away back, and the guy said, "No, I like fruit." He said, I can even have one or two things. I can have loss of leaves, or I can have loss of fruit." He had to go back in there and do a lot of pruning. And I read that a lot of people that start out as trying to keep vines, they end up losing them because they don't prune enough. Pruning is necessary for fruitfulness. You know, there's a story I want to tell you real quick. This is very interesting. This vineyard right here, this is just only a portion of it, but this is called the Grapevine, and it's in Hampton Court, in England. And get this. This is what shocked me. It's the largest vine in the world today, but it was planted in 1768. This grapevine is 249 years old. It measures 13 feet at the base. I mean, 13 feet at the base. And the longest rod is 120 foot. Long. And the average crop of black dessert grapes is about 600 pounds a season. And I read back in 2005 or somewhere around there, it was 887 pounds of grapes produced. This is one vine. One vine. And what's interesting about the grapevine, though, I was reading that the wife of the gardener, she would spend about 3 months a year just scraping branches with a knife in order to remove loose flakes of bark. And she does that because of the parasites that would get into that bark. And so all that dead wood had to be removed. And so it involved a lot of work of just pruning every day. And here's a picture of her right there. She's got her little pruning scissors. And so having to prune constantly in order to produce much fruit. You know, there are some Christians that are like the grapevine. I mean, they're just 600 pounds of fruit. I mean, they're producing fruit. But I want to just share this. This is good. The application of all this, of this pruning. You can look at 100 vines, vineyards, and you'll never see one branch pruning another branch. What you'll see, though, is their vine dresser. You know, listen, it's our Father. It's our Father's responsibility to prune our lives. And I'm going to go through these last three points very quickly concerning pruning. God does not prune us indiscriminately. God does not prune us indiscriminately. He knows what He's doing because He always has a plan. And He's always working to make us more like Christ. He only wants to remove those things that are not necessary. And so God does not prune indiscriminately. When you go through some chastisement, discipline, some trials, some hardships, some afflictions, listen, remember God is pruning you. He's wanting more fruit out of your life. And pruning involves pain. When you read Hebrews 12, it's not joyous for the present. I mean, when we go through affliction, when we go through chastisement, when the Father scourges us, I mean, when there's pruning taking place, listen, it's painful. It's painful. The pruning knife is sharp. But just remember this, that pruning knife, it's not to damage or to destroy us. It's to help us bear more fruit. And then this is a surprising one right here. Pruning can last a long time. You know, this process, it's not just for one day, one week, one year. We can never really get to the place in our Christian life where we have to say, oh, I'm so glad that there's no more pain coming my way. There's never going to be that day. Not until we get to see Jesus. You know, the longer a grapevine is alive, from what I read, the more pruning it needs. You look at that grapevine. I mean, can you imagine how much pruning would be involved? You know, some of us who are older in the faith, we may need more pruning than we think we do. We may think, well, I've arrived. You know, I've been a Christian. I'm mature. I know the Bible and all this. But, hey, we still need pruning. Still need pruning. So let me ask you this in closing. Are you connected to the true vine? And that's the most important question. Are you saved? Are you saved and know it? And then another question, are you feeling weary and unproductive in your Christian life? I mean, oftentimes we feel that way. I know I feel that way a lot of times. I'm like, Lord, I seem like I'm doing a lot of work with little fruit. Well, maybe it's time to ask God to show you those sucker shoots that are sapping your strength. Maybe it's time for you to pray, God, I need you to prune me. I need you to cut out some bad habits in my life. I need you to cut out some wrong thoughts. I need you to cut out some bad behavior in my life or some bad attitudes. so I can produce more fruit. You know, is God pruning you right now? Maybe God's pruning you right now. And just remember, it's not for your pain, it's for your gain. It's for His glory. You know, David said in Psalm 119, verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." It is good. Pruning is good. And so next time you're going through some difficult circumstances, remember your Father. He's in charge. He knows what He's doing. It's not indiscriminate. He's got a plan. He's trying to cut out some things in your life. Ask Him, "God, what is it you're trying to cut out of my life?" Maybe it's bad friends, wrong influences. Maybe you're wasting time, too much time on frivolous things instead of praying and spending time in His Word and reaching out to others. God may be trying to get your attention. Prune those things out so you can bear more fruit and glorify Him. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Our dear Father, we're thankful that You are the Lord of the vineyard. You're the one that's over us. You're the one that cares for us. You're the one that protects us. You're the one that nurtures us. You're the one that desires us to be fruitful, and You're committed to doing everything possible to work in our lives so that we'd bear much fruit. And Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, for His death on the cross, His resurrection that makes it possible for us to be saved and have eternal life and to be a branch in the vine producing fruit. Lord, help us just to rest in His finished work. Help us just to rest and walk in Him, to fellowship with Him, to abide in Him, so that fruit might be something that is produced in our life through His power. And Father, as we examine our hearts tonight, Lord, and we consider all these things, Lord, help us that we can spend some time tonight in prayer, spend some time asking, Lord, what are some things in my life that needs to be pruned? Some things that need to be cut out so that I can bear more fruit. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Have a good evening.